This is Radio Boston. I'm Chris Sitterick. We start today with a warning from more than three dozen Massachusetts doctors and researchers who say we could be headed toward a public health crisis due to the rollout of recreational marijuana. In a statement sent to state lawmakers that was organized by the Massachusetts Prevention Alliance, signatories are expressing worry over, quote, how marijuana policy is being shaped and concerns of, quote, regulatory failure. The statement was signed by doctors and researchers from organizations including Harvard Medical School, Massachusetts General Hospital, and Boston Children's Hospital. The Cannabis Control Commission responded to the statement, telling WBUR in part that the commission will, quote, continue to engage with the public health community as part of its mission to safely, equitably, and effectively implement the legal market in Massachusetts. Here with us now to talk about this issue is one of the doctors who signed on to the original statement of concern, Dr. Nicholas Chatty. He's a pediatrician specializing in adolescent medicine and currently a pediatric addiction medicine fellow at Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Chatty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Chris.
So you are one of over two dozen doctors and public health officials to sign on to this statement. It says that marijuana is being regulated as if it were, quote, an ordinary commodity rather than following a public health framework. Can you give us a little bit more specific? What does that phrase mean?
Yeah, I think this statement of concern really was written to try to bring more awareness to the fact that there's a really a big opportunity here, kind of a double-sided both risk and opportunity to do things right with marijuana legalization. The public health and the health sector voice in the whole process of legalization sometimes gets pushed to the side. And then really we were trying with this statement to bring forward some important issues and there's some important pieces of knowledge that we do know from the research that's out there on potential harms and risks associated with marijuana use, and especially in young people.
So I'm curious, the statement also mentions that you're seeing these negative health effects in our patient populations. As I mentioned in your introduction, you specialize in adolescents and addictions. What are you seeing firsthand in terms of negative health effects? And this law passed in 2016, have you seen any changes over the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. So it is really difficult to correlate legalization per se and then these health effects, right? So I've been in this field for a number of years, and since the beginning of my practice, I've seen young people very affected by marijuana use. So it could be a range of different mental health impacts and impacts on functioning and school outcomes. And I would say that many of those impacts aren't necessarily new, and it's really hard to say that if directly related to legalization, we're seeing more and more of these. What we are seeing, and I'm seeing that for sure in my practice, is that the perception that marijuana is risky and harmful really has decreased. So teens tend to say and think now that marijuana is not risky and is something that can be used pretty safely, in part because it's legal now. So I think it's really important that young people have the right information and know really the potential harms of using marijuana the way they are using it. And what we are seeing is that young people are using more and more of these high concentration products, so that high THC products that we can find in edibles and vapes and oils, for example, that tend to be more available now that there are more medical and recreational shops opening.
I just want to follow up on that. You said that you're hearing less concern of this as a drug. Is that something that you're hearing from patients, or the data shows that there's this attitude towards marijuana generally?
Definitely both. So we have data from large national surveys longitudinally looking at what young people think and say about marijuana, and there is a very clear trend towards young people having a lower perception of risk nowadays. It's been decreasing pretty significantly and steadily in the past decade or so, I would say, and really in line with this trend of legalization across the country.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Massachusetts isn't the first state to take this up. So that's kind of why I was interested to ask that follow-up, because we're seeing data from other states. Washington, for example, they legalized marijuana in 2012. And a study that was just published in December this past year in the Journal of American Medical Association said that youth use has actually gone down since the drug was legalized. And then I saw a similar study out of Colorado said that usage has remained pretty steady. So interesting that the attitude might be changing, but that the level of usage, maybe not so much.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up. And actually, this is very interesting on several levels. So people don't really know this or realize this, but adolescents right now in 2019 are using less drugs, alcohol, and substances in general, much less than the previous generation. And what we're seeing with rates of marijuana use is overall, they're pretty stable, which might seems surprising because we would expect them to go down with rates of alcohol use, for example, or use of street drugs, for example. So I think when we interpret those trends and try to look at them in the bigger picture of what's going on in the grand scheme of adolescent substance use, it's really tricky. We have to make sure that we read between the lines. And I do think that we do see some increases in more heavier users and daily users that we have to make sure that we're not missing. What I would expect to see with legalization is a decrease in rates of adolescent marijuana use. And I'm really hoping and optimistic that we can achieve that. We just want to make sure that, we're doing it the right way.
Okay, so we obviously reached out to the Cannabis Control Commission, and they responded to the statement that you guys sent and basically said that they're already pursuing avenues that fit those public health standards that you're talking about, public awareness campaigns, restrictions on marketing, advertising, packaging, and labeling. What are you concerned that they're not doing right so far?
Yeah, I think a lot of this work is great and really well thought of. Having done some work with the Cannabis Control Commission, I think there's some really smart people doing some great things there. In my opinion, it's a little bit like David and Goliath, right? So we have this new cannabis industry that is really rapidly growing, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And yes, we have researchers and public health folks, but we're, compared to the industry, a very small voice, and it's not too difficult to push us to the side. So I think with this statement of concern, we're really wanting to make sure that the science gets through, that decision makers are constantly reminded of what we know. And really, what I personally would love to see, and it's not always the case, is making sure that every public health effort and prevention campaign and everything that we're doing in the direction of protecting health is done free of influence from lobbies, from cannabis companies.
I'm curious if you could expand on that a little bit about pushing the health experts to the side. What do you mean specifically by that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, history has shown with you know, big tobacco in previous campaigns that, you know, big companies sometimes do extend their tentacles and try to influence how, you know, public health prevention campaigns are done. And sometimes there are good intentions. But what we do see is sometimes a paradoxical increase in use when companies are shaping the messaging, right? So sometimes more attention towards these companies. And so specifically with the case of cannabis and the Cannabis Control Commission, you know, there is involvement of cannabis companies within the commission, which I think is fine because it is an industry that needs to be regulated. But I think that the Public Health Committee, if its mandate is really public health, should not have an equal or even sometimes a majority voice from industry partners or you know, marijuana advocates. And really, this is the place where health providers and researchers should be able to make sure that they get the research and the knowledge across to decision makers.
So that actually comes to a follow-up. I wanted to ask a point of clarification. Part of the statement recommended that only public health officials be on the committee. Are you referring specifically to the Public Health Committee, or there are four subcommittees I know under the Cannabis Control Commission? Are you talking about all those subcommittees or just the Public Health Committee that should not have industry experts on it?
Yeah, I definitely think that the Public Health Committee should be the one where public health experts have the voice, right? And by public health experts, I think we need to have clinicians as well and researchers. For the other committees, I think it is fairly reasonable to have you know, people from the industry because it's the industry that we're regulating. So we need to understand their knowledge and their point of view for different aspects of you know, regulations.
Right.
But really specifically for the Public Health Committee, I do think that that is the place where we need to have the voice of health specialists.
Okay. So one of the specific concerns that you guys raised in the statement was with the social equity program. The statement that you guys sent in said, quote, by targeting low-income communities for marijuana retail outlets, the social equity program is likely to increase health inequities and disparities among marginalized populations. That program was basically created to give minority applicants equal access. The Cannabis Commission has said they're really just focusing on providing people with training and opportunity to work in the industry. How can they address those concerns that you're raising?
Yeah, I think it is a complex issue, and I might not be the best person to address this specific point. What I will say is that, you know, in this whole legalization process, there is recreational marijuana and there's medical marijuana. And I think one thing that's important is that if we are going to offer medical marijuana to the states, we want to make sure that we offer it in an equal way. Our concerns, I think, are we just want to make sure that if we are, you know, looking specifically at low-income communities, we're not creating a situation where there's increased use of marijuana from people who might be more at risk of having negative consequences. And I'm thinking specifically of young people where rates of marijuana use tend to be higher at baseline. So it's more of the trickle-down effects that we might see with legalization. We just want to make sure that this doesn't happen.
All right. So with retail locations just really starting to open up in the last few months, what would you like to see from the commission here in terms of action moving forward?
Yeah, I think caution is really what I would hope to see. There are very few recreational shops right now that are open. You know, there's one in Brookline, and my program, the Substance Use and Addiction Clinic, will be moving half a mile from there, right? So I think in trying to think where and how these shops are opening up and how we're going to control them and make sure that young people aren't necessarily walking by there every day where there's a reminder that they could be using marijuana, it's a complex issue. And I think we need to think about these things nicely and well and not jump into things too quickly because it's easier to prevent than to try to repair what we might do wrong after the fact.
All right. Well, that's Dr. Nicholas Chatty. He's a pediatrician specializing in adolescent medicine, currently a pediatric addiction medicine fellow at Boston Children's Hospital, and a signatory of a statement of concern on marijuana policy in Massachusetts. Dr. Chatty, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Chris.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Chris Sidorek. This is Radio Boston.